It's Friday, March 29th. I'm your host, Paul Joseph Watson. This is InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight, propaganda pushes liberty lovers as terrorists, veterans evicted by the very government they fought for, and the Cyprus haircut with Gerald Celente. All this and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Top story tonight, Fox drama, constitutionalists work for terrorist serial murderers, by Kurt Nimmo. Fox, the entertainment network founded by Rupert Murdoch and Barry Diller, is working with the federal government and the Southern Poverty Law Center in a concerted effort to demonize Americans identifying themselves as constitutionalists. And this is a new program that follows in the vein, of course, as we documented over the years, repeated sustained attempts to demonize anybody who believes in the Constitution, libertarians, conservatives across the political spectrum, you name it. Of course, 2011, we had the DHS-funded study, which came out and said that Americans who were, quote, reverential of liberty were likely terrorists. Then, of course, before that, we had the 2009 MIAC report, which demonized constitutionalists, Ron Paul supporters, gold owners, people who flew the Gadsden flag as terrorists, and it's been a sustained attack over the past several years. And here to talk more about that, how the entertainment industry is characterizing liberty lovers as extremists, is Jakari Jackson.
The cell tower linked to your wife is near a roadside motel on Highway 31.
Typically, there's 5 to 6 agents per safe house in a designated area away from the other guests.
I'm thinking an M17 or my micro Uzi with a silencer.
You like ex-military?
I don't know. We're better than that.
They were both raised by militia.
Well, constitutional extremists, to be accurate.
The following, a Fox TV series starring Kevin Bacon, is the latest television program to demonize the militia. I'm Jakari Jackson with an InfoWars News Bulletin. Even though the Constitution guarantees the rights of a well-regulated militia, that has not stopped the mass media from portraying the militia in a negative light. Let's take a look at these clips where the hero fights militia antagonist.
Next Thursday, to save a young boy's life, Michael Weston takes on a militia.
They are locked down tight.
An unknown number of heavily armed militiamen have taken over the mine.
Plan to use the salt mine as their base during the Second American Revolution, which is, they claim, imminent.
More shows still, such as the in-development We Hate Paul Revere and Founding Fathers.
The real programming is happening with these shows like Founding Fathers, where the guy that's pro-gun in Texas and leading the militia, he's really Al-Qaeda, which fits into the whole narrative that, oh, it's white Al-Qaeda or gun owners are really Al-Qaeda.
InfoWars has also documented subliminal propaganda in television shows such as AMC's Breaking Bad.
One example is AMC's Breaking Bad television series as it depicts a meth villain as a Ron Paul supporter.
And we'll end with a clip of Alex Jones warning of such propaganda in his film Road to Tyranny. I'm Jakari Jackson with an InfoWars News Bulletin.
Who was the first terrorist organization in the United States? Who?
Founding Fathers.
Founding Fathers. You mean Thomas Jefferson?
Look at this guy. You know, he's talking about the Founding Fathers and people that are committed. He's talking about constitutional terrorists before that. The cops are so conditioned, they say, who are the terrorists? Who are the first terrorists? The Founding Fathers. They all know. They all say Founding Fathers.
Next story tonight. Obama artist equates gun owners with Satan. Shepard Fairey, the graphic artist synonymous with the Obama Change and Hope images, has taken aim at the Second Amendment by releasing new works that equate gun owners with Satan. Fairey has released a new print titled God Saves and Satan Invests, which depicts an AR-15 rifle with the words America, the land where God saves and Satan invests in assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. And we've got this image up on the screen now. You can see it in the article on InfoWars.com. And on his blog, to go with this new poster, which he's selling, all the proceeds go to gun control advocacy groups, Fairey mentions the recent mass shootings and tries to basically blame them on, you guessed it, the traditional scapegoat, Christianity. Stating that the print was, quote, inspired by the multiple school and mass shootings, that's inspired by mass shootings, strange word to use, that have occurred in recent months. Ferry says, quote, "I'm not a big fan of the absurd abundance of guns in the US. I'm also perplexed by the claim that much of the nation to have Christian values. If God tells us to love our neighbor and not to take another human life, where do the assault weapons and piles of ammo fit into these Christian values?" So no mention of the piles of ammo that the federal government, the Obama administration, is stockpiling with the Department of Homeland Security. But he's basically blaming the mass shootings not only on guns, not only on the Second Amendment, but also on the Christian faith, which is kind of odd because the search warrant of Adam Lanza's home has just come out yesterday. There was no Bible there. There was no evidence that Lanza's massacre was fueled by his Christian faith. He wasn't even a practicing Christian. Before him, James Holmes, the Batman shooter, there was no evidence his rampage was fueled by his Christian faith. And then, of course, before him, with a Gifford shooting, Jared Lee Loughner, no evidence to suggest his rampage was prompted or motivated by his Christian faith. And Loughner was actually a pagan. He had occult shrines surrounded by skulls at which he performed little rituals. So far from being a Christian, Loughner was basically a Satanist. It was the opposite. And there's no evidence that Christianity or faith had any motivation in recent mass shootings. So that's complete BS to start off with. So Ferry, and this is a guy, remember, whose posters helped create this contrived cult of messianic personality cult that got Obama elected back in 2008, is now backing the Obama administration's gun control agenda by labeling firearms tools of Satan. And this is what the poster says. So again, while the government arms itself to the teeth, Americans who own guns are being accused of being in league with Beelzebub. And perhaps the best response to this was a comment somebody wrote in response to this poster that's just been released. And again, all the proceeds going to pushing gun control politically. This is what the commenter said. "So does Satan investing in assault weapons and high capacity magazines count for the Department of Homeland Security and their recent order for 1.6 billion rounds of rifle and handgun ammo, 2,700 MRAP vehicles and 7,000 assault rifles, and their order of no hesitation targets?" No, it doesn't apply to that. The government can stockpile weapons en masse. The American people do it. They're in league with the devil, according to Shepard Fairey, the creator of the infamous Hope and Change Obama posters. And this leads us on to our next article. Pat Robertson on DHS arms buildup. Who are they going to shoot? Us? Televangelist Pat Robertson has become the latest prominent conservative to question why the Department of Homeland Security is engaged in an apparent arms buildup, asking if the 1.6 billion bullets purchased by the federal agency will be used against the American people. And here's the clip.
"What are they for? The army going into battle against the enemy? They're used by Homeland Security against us. Ronald Reagan said the most fearful statement in the English language is, 'I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.'"
Oh boy, I totally
well,
agree.
Imagine what Homeland Security is doing. It's just awful. But we're going to talk about how much ammunition they're stockpiling. Who are they going to shoot? Us?
And of course, this was instantly leapt upon by the leftist media, who instead of actually investigating the issue of DHS bullet buys, have taken pot shots at these right-wing demagogues like Pat Robertson and Sarah Palin, because it's easier to do that and dismiss the issue by labeling it a kook right-wing paranoid fantasy than actually investigating the reality of the matter. So the latest to do this was, in fact, the website that posted the Pat Robertson clip, Right Wing Watch, who used it to claim, quote, "The conspiracy about secretive ammo stockpiling is completely unfounded." And what was their source for making that claim? Again, just as with all the other liberal blogs, it was a single quote by a DHS official. because the leftist media somehow thinks that an entire issue can be debunked, not by any kind of real investigation, but by merely trusting the veracity of a glib statement made by a single government official. That's now their standard template for dismissing anything as a conspiracy theory. The government says it's nothing, move along, nothing to see here. They just accept that as gospel, no inquiry, no independent thought, that's it, case closed. But as we've documented at length, the DHS's explanation doesn't add up. They claim that the 1.6 billion bullets are being bought in bulk to save money and are for training purposes only. Yet most of the bullets purchased are hollow point rounds, which are twice as expensive as full metal jackets, therefore completely unsuitable for training purposes and wholly contradictory to the idea of, quote, saving money. Makes no sense whatsoever. They cost double the amount as regular firing range bullets. Makes no sense. And not a single one of these, you know, pathetic debunking hit pieces have even dared to address that contradiction because they can't explain it. I mean, The Atlantic came out and put the whole story down to a hoax email, didn't even mention the fact that the bullet purchases were taking place. So they'd much rather throw around these pejorative terms and ascribe them to people like Pat Robertson and Sarah Palin, when in fact now over a dozen members of Congress are demanding answers on the issue. There's no mention of that in any of these debunked as a conspiracy theory articles, because they would have to acknowledge that many sober, rational, important people are asking hard questions. So why is the DHS buying so many bullets? As we've documented on many times in the past, one, they're preparing for civil unrest. That's come out in their own documents. They bought riot gear in the past. They've been caught talking about mass influx of illegal immigrants causing domestic unrest. They're preparing for that, but two, they're also trying to restrict the ammo supply in America. There was a weapons manufacturer who supplies the federal government who called into the Michael Savage show earlier this week. We had the article on Infowars.com. And he said that they're doing it. They're buying up all these bullets, or at least committing the manufacturers to withhold the stock, so therefore the market is starved of supply. They're doing it to restrict ammunition supplies. That's why you now have police departments having to literally barter and beg with each other for ammo. And Americans are now literally waiting in crowds outside gun stores across the country for trucks to arrive to deliver the new ammo, because the shelves are bare. So this is an end run around the Second Amendment. And who knows, you know, it might not just be a domestic issue. Who knows where else all that ammunition could be heading? Could it be heading to the Middle East? Could it be heading to the rebels in Syria? You know, they armed murderous Mexican drug lords and blamed it on the Second Amendment under Operation Fast and Furious. So why would they stop there? Speaking of Syria, our next story, American terrorist in Syria was working for CIA, says father. The father of U.S. Army veteran Eric Haroon, arrested on Tuesday night by the FBI for fighting alongside an al-Qaeda group in Syria, says his son was working for the CIA. Here's the clip.
I know he was doing some work for the CIA over there, so I don't understand what this is all about, what is going on right now, but I know for a fact that he was passing information onto the CIA.
So while the Obama administration is sending hundreds of millions of dollars, it's now over $500 million, in aid to Syrian rebels, which are being led by Jabhat al-Nusra, the group that Haroon was a member of, which is an al-Qaeda group that the New York Times admits killed U.S. troops in Iraq. Its other name is al-Qaeda in Iraq. The FBI is simultaneously arresting Americans who fight alongside that group as terrorists. So if they're in Syria, that's all fine. We'll give them money. We'll give them weapons. They can fight for our regime change. As soon as they get back in the United States, same with Matthew Van Dyke, they're labeled terrorists. And recall that immediately after this group, Jabhat al-Nusra, this al-Qaeda group, was declared a terrorist organization by the State Department back in December, of course, this is the group that bombs schools, universities, carries out beheadings. Immediately after they were designated a terrorist organization, 29 of the other so-called moderate FSA groups came out and pledged their allegiance to al-Nusra. So the same groups being supported directly by the Obama administration, by the NATO powers, have pledged allegiance and are now being led on the battlefield by al-Qaeda. Your tax money going straight to terrorists to bomb schools, kill little kids, carry out beheadings, ransack Christian churches. It's all good fun. It's all good foreign policy. And of course, the CIA's involvement in aiding, training, and equipping rebel insurgents in Syria is no secret, because as the New York Times reported on Monday, the CIA is now working with Turkey and other Arab governments in the region to oversee a, quote, secret airlift of arms and equipment for the uprising against President Bashar al-Assad. So it's now admitted that the CIA are directly aiding in the shipment of weapons. And of course, the fact that Haroon was arrested by the FBI, despite apparently, according to his father, working for the CIA, most likely reflects on the interagency rivalry between the CIA and the FBI. Of course, we know before 9/11, there was a big investigation into the Bin Laden family and other terrorists, which Greg Palast reported on. And if that had have been seen through, it may have prevented the 9/11 attack, but the CIA managed to stop it, of course. So while these terrorists are in Syria working with al-Qaeda groups who burn US flags, chop people's heads off, and attack schools, you know, it's all fine and dandy. And don't worry, your tax dollars will continue to pay for it. While they're over there, they're called freedom fighters, but as soon as they come home, they're arrested as terrorists, as Eric Haroon was on Tuesday night. Moving on, this is a report out of the Lou Rockwell blog. So what's it like to have a business in Cyprus right now? And here's the image, which you can see now. This is a screenshot from a online business bank account in Cyprus. And you can see the total balance is 849,000 euros. Available balance, 128,000 euros. There you see, blocked balance, 720,000 euros blocked by the government. You're not allowed to use that money. And this is a medium-sized IT business in Cyprus. And most of their money has now been declared off-limits as a result of this technocrat, quote, bailout, which is really a mass act of looting and plundering of people in Cyprus with deposits over 100,000 euros. And this is what the actual business owner who this account belongs to said. Over 700k of expropriated money will be used to repay the country's debt. Probably we will get back about 20% of this amount in 6 to 7 years. I'm not a Russian oligarch, but just a European medium-sized IT business. Thousands of other companies around Cyprus are in the same situation. The business is definitely ruined. All Cypriot workers will have to be fired. So they tried to steal 10% of everyone's savings in the initial bailout plan. That got shot down, you know, after mass protests, mass fallout. So then they said, we'll just, and this is the EU and the IMF basically imposing this on Cyprus. They said, we'll just target people with over 100,000 euros in the bank. You know, those rich people, those wealthy people with 100,000 euros in their bank account. And most people accepted that and went back to sleep, you know. Oh, it's just those Russian oligarchs, the billionaires, take their money, who cares? Well, no, it's not the Russian oligarchs, because they got all their money out of the banking system in Cyprus weeks before this even happened, as did all the other mega-rich investors. So it's literally been a looting of small and medium-sized businesses. It's got very little at all to do with Russian oligarchs. And in fact, there's a story out of the Telegraph today where a middle-class family sold their house, their villa in Cyprus, for 200,000 euros right before this crisis hit. And now that money, which they desperately need for medical bills, has disappeared. It's gone. We've posted the reports before, as I mentioned. All the oligarchs got their money out before this happened. And remember, the technocrats have told us This will be the new template across Europe for, quote, bank recapitalization, plundering the hard-earned savings of the people. And in fact, there's a report out which we posted today where Canada has just introduced new rules to do the same. So if you've got over 100,000 euros in a European bank, 100,000 Canadian dollars in a Canadian bank, then watch out. I think you might want to start spreading your money out between different banks and, of course, investing a lot of it in precious metals. But we got this media narrative of, you know, they're just targeting the mega rich. It's not going to affect you. It's okay to steal their money. And it's absolute BS. This primary, the primary target for the wealth confiscation in Cyprus is the middle class. And that is the template across Europe and eventually in Canada and the United States. Skynet drones work together for Homeland Security. This is a video I put together last night over at the Prison Planet Live YouTube channel. And they call these drones Skynet, which of course is named after the technocracy in the Terminator franchise of movies, whose goal it was to exterminate humanity. Just a cute little name that they've given these drones. And what you're watching here on the clip is a number of drones that can communicate with each other to accomplish tasks, which in this case is intercepting an object and then throwing it back up in the air and catching it again. And the professor who made this presentation at the Zurich Mines Conference, Professor D'Andrea, admits that the technology could be open to, quote, abuse and is incredibly dangerous. And of course, this ties into the recent DARPA-funded mind meld study involving rats, which we reported on, which is all geared towards DARPA's ultimate goal, which they've admitted, of creating an army of self-aware, communicative, battlefield robots, cyborgs, which as top technology experts like Professor of Robotics Noel Sharkey have warned will inevitably be used to hunt down and kill people, suspects, terrorists, gun owners, constitutionalists, you get the picture. And we also had the recent report of another drone in development that could be eventually used to snatch protesters off the streets. It's able to swoop down like an eagle, snatch a stationary object off the ground. And these drones are only going to get bigger. They're going to get stronger. They're going to get more sophisticated. And they're all being directed towards this high-tech police state. Aviation expert David Cenciotti, speaking about the drones which Professor D'Andrea put on display recently, expects the drones to be used for, quote, hunting terrorists and other homeland security purposes. So that's where it's all being funneled towards, the total technological dictatorship Skynet system. And don't be fooled now by how flimsy these drones appear at present. These are merely the prototypes. As I said, they're going to get bigger and stronger. They're going to be watching you. And eventually, if the control freaks get their way, they're literally going to be throwing nets over people and snatching them off the streets. That's the kind of nightmare we've got to look forward to if we don't stop the development of this technology in that direction. Washington Examiner reports, in Shift, Medicare would pay for sex change operations. For the first time since 1981, when it dubbed sex change operations experimental, Medicare has opened the door to covering transsexual operations, adding to the growing list of operations that would be allowed under Obamacare. Acting on a new request, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services said it is starting a new analysis that could lift the spending ban for sex change operations, with a goal of making a decision 2 days after Christmas on the eve of Obamacare kicking in on January 1st, 2014. And this is the same kind of system as the government-run healthcare here in Britain, which my tax money now goes towards paying for people to get breast enlargement implants on the NHS, National Health Service. So if you want to get breast implants, if you want to have a sex change operation, then knock yourself out. That's your choice. But don't ask me to pay for it. And, you know, now we've got the story Planned Parenthood arguing for post-birth abortion, Chinese-style infanticide. So I guess eventually the argument will be, you know, include that in Obamacare as well. the horror of government-run healthcare coming to the US January 1st, 2014, and just go and look at the British example. If you want to give yourself chills, of course, you've got the Liverpool Pathway Care Program, which actually serves to euthanize old people. Another little goodie, another little benefit of government-run healthcare coming to America. We turn now to a disturbing story out of Los Angeles involving a veterans home that's been defunded, and basically these veterans have been kicked out on the street. We turn to our correspondent, Millie Weaver, with that report.
Over 25,000 Los Angelians will be trekking across the veterans' homeland without even realizing that they're trespassing.
To discuss this issue, I met with Robert Rosebrock, who's heading the old Veterans Guard
of the Veterans Revolution. And our mission is to save our veterans' land and to bring our homeless veterans home. This is their home. That war ended 38 years ago. Today, 47% of all homeless veterans are from the Vietnam War.
How many veterans are there actually in the veterans' home right now,
Let me explain. Most of these buildings are empty. They were built 70 years ago. They have a few. I think you ran into some of them over there. They're in rehabilitation, and those are domiciliaries, but the buildings are empty. They're rat-infested.
I wanted to find out what the LA Marathon volunteers and VA employees had to say about this issue.
Okay, and that works for the VA, so I can't.
You can't do interviews either?
Well, it's been one of the best things that's happened to me since I left
really?
The military back in 1981. I am a Vietnam era vet.
So you've had fun. Hi.
I'm Sergeant Martha V. Police. How are you doing today?
Good.
Who do you work with?
I'm just a citizen.
You're just a citizen?
Yeah.
Oh, you're just out here just filming just for...
Just for the LA Marathon and the veterans.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So you don't work for any news agency or any press or anything like that?
I'm not wearing a press pass.
Oh, okay.
Miss, can you just stop recording?
Thank you.
You're recording still?
Yeah. People are recording all over the place.
Yes, but you continue to interview veterans and people that are on campus, and it's just not authorized.
But they gave permission.
It's authorized.
So is free speech not authorized? That's what I want to know. Are these grounds open for free speech?
They sure are. And there is also federal law that we have to follow, and that's why I'm trying to find out, because under 38 Code of Federal Regulations,
please stop recording.
If you're using it for any type of commercial purposes, mm-hmm. you're going to show this for any type of gain or anything like that, that's where we come into that. That's why I'm just trying to find out.
So I'm a citizen here videotaping this event. There's a lot of citizens here videotaping. He's a citizen and he's videotaping this event. I don't understand why I'm being hassled because I'm just trying to videotape this event and document life. This is life.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely. We're just asking you not to interview our volunteers or...
So okay. You can take video, you can take stills. We just ask that you don't interview anyone without any prior consent of the VA, because we do, our public affairs does need to coordinate any interviews. So...
I interviewed some people running the LA Marathon, and none of them had any clue that so many veterans were basically exiled from the veterans' home.
This was a bigger issue than I had even realized.
It's basically, we call it, it's the deed of 1888.
On March 3rd, 1888, John P. Jones and Arcadia DeBaker patriotically deeded over 400 acres of pristine West Los Angeles land to be permanently maintained as a national home for veterans.
It states five times in the deed to be permanently maintained as a national home for disabled soldiers. There's an act of Congress that preceded that one, even before this could be established, and it's incorporated into the deed that refers back to the Congressional Act of 1887, 1 year prior.
Last year, around this time, you were arrested.
That was in 2009, actually.
That was in 2009.
We had the American flag up here, and they came out, took it down. We were had it up here for 66 Sundays, and we hung it in distress, which is totally legal. When a ship is in distress, you hang it on the vessel. Mm-hmm. We did it here. They came out. I was arrested 6 times, and all 6 of those citations were false, trumped up, dismissed in federal court.
This is the home that the head of the VA is allowed to stay at. It's a giant mansion. She's not a veteran.
Donna Bider has a court order to recuse herself from her position, yet she treasonously remains, and nobody has enforced it.
I have reached out to Secretary Shinseki, Congressman Waxman, who this is in his district, to Senator Feinstein, the U.S. Senator, totally ignored.
One, I'm not a sixth grader. Senator, I've been on this committee for 20 years.
Is it the view of the senior senator from California that Congress should be in the business of specifying particular individuals who are not covered by the Bill of Rights?
Sir, Congress is in the business of making law. The Supreme Court interprets the law. They strike down the law, they strike down the law. And if this is brought up before the court, if it should pass, I'm sure that argument will be made.
That's exactly the point. The senator knows, having attended law school and professes to have some experience in the Constitution, none of these rights are absolute.
Well, it underscores the mental illness of this woman, quite frankly. She should be impeached, thrown out. This is, again, part and parcel. She supports the very wealthy homeowner groups that support her that wants this for a public park, both her and Henry Waxman.
Dianne Feinstein is trying to take the vets' guns from one hand while taking their money from the other.
Well, first of all, she has aided and abetted with the homeowner group to get this land where we're looking right here, which is $1 billion piece of property. If you could build a building like this over here, it's worth $1 billion. There's 16 acres. Local comparables on land like this is 50 to 60 million an acre. There's 16 acres. She arranged, her and Waxman, that this group could get this land right here where veterans from the Civil War once walked and turn it into a public park rent-free.
They have the veterans kicked out of their veterans' home, out panhandling on the streets, while government wildcatters pump black gold from the veins of the American soldiers.
Is that oil going to the veterans?
Not at all. Thank you for asking. This is a gift, first of all. Two families, they opened the first veterans' home after the Civil War for disabled homeless veterans. This land was selected. And it's so amazing. There's an oil well on this property. And that to make sure that this would always be funded, at least, there's an oil well. The royalties don't go to the VA, they go to the Department of Interior.
So who's getting all the oil money?
Well, the last we know of it is Brightburn Energy, who holds the lease on it, and then the Department of Interior gets the royalties, not the VA. The list goes on and on of people who have leases in here, privileged leases, to supposedly offset the expense of running the VA.
How would you feel if you were temporarily kicked out of your home so that the government could remodel it? Meanwhile, they're having a marathon in your backyard, and you're kicked out on the streets homeless.
None of the funds that are actually going towards helping veterans are really even going towards helping the veterans.
No, no, no. It's like the nonprofits that are out there raising money to help the vet. They all get big fat salaries and expenses. And at the end, they say, where's a $1.98 for the veterans? You know, we raised tens of millions of dollars. Here's a token for you. And the ACLU lawsuit, they're asking, where is the money? And Henry Waxman was asked this. This is amazing. This is one of the most powerful men in Congress.
We've never been able to get a lot of the details of exactly where that, how much money they got and how that money was used.
Pursue for the record a clarification.
Mr. Chairman, where in the rules is that stated? Could I see a copy of the rules that allow for this said? The rules of the House, Mr. Chairman.
We will furnish you with a copy.
Mr. Chairman, there are multiple members that could yield you time. I would ask that you...
I will have you physically removed from this meeting if you don't stop.
Nor is the concern...
Gentleman's time has expired.
Well, how does
at this time, at this time, I would like to...
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. You've made a statement where you were not recognized for the time. You cut me out in the middle of a sentence. I'd like to know the substantiation for your...
Your time was up, Mr. Waxman.
Why are you interrupting members and then you take unlimited time for yourself?
I'm responding to your questions, your allegations. I'm the chairman, and I'm telling you right now we're going to recess for 10 minutes.
Do you think the only way to incentivize a country is by offering them more and more carrots? You're going to have some threat.
President Bush allotted $15 million for steroid education. Where is that money gone?
I don't know. Do you know? Okay, we don't know.
He was seated in Congress about 3 months, 4 months before the fall of Saigon, the end of the Vietnam War. Henry was protesting that war, not fighting it, but protesting it. They recently appropriated $20 million to rehab one of those rat-infested buildings of about 55 rooms that will house 65 veterans a year and a half from now. We have 20,000 out here. This is their little tokenism, and if you just do the simple math, that's close to $400,000 a room. You could buy them a home.
Exactly.
It appears that the VA is giving the veterans mixed messages about what it takes to live on the VA's property.
So it's a catch-22 situation that they got with the veterans.
This is, without a doubt, the biggest land fraud scam in American history, and it'll prove to be some of the most atrocious crimes against humanity, and that being our disabled homeless veterans who are forced to live in back alley squalor.
Wow.
While some of the wealthiest people live next door here. And everybody talks about honoring our troops, and we say today's troops are tomorrow's veterans.
We made a vow to them that we go ahead for the rest of our life, we would protect this country. I'm 73 years old. I'm still here protesting for my country.
So what do you think? Do you think all veterans are mentally ill, like Dianne Feinstein states?
I served in the United States Marine Corps. I was not in Vietnam. I joined up after Vietnam was over in 1978.
What do you think about Dianne Feinstein's comment saying that all veterans are mentally ill?
This amendment, Mr. Chairman, would allow members of the armed forces and veterans to obtain and possess the self-defense weapons prohibited by this legislation. We should think long and hard before disarming these heroes, preventing them from protecting their families and their communities.
If I understand this, this adds an exemption of retired military. The problem with expanding this is that, you know, with the advent of PTSD, it's not clear how the seller or transfer of a firearm covered by this bill would verify that an individual was a member or a veteran, and that there was no impairment of that individual.
I think it's a mistake to paint so broadly as to say any active duty military or veterans can't use these kinds of weapons or any other lawful weapons for self-defense. PTSD sufferers are already prohibited by law.
So if she said that, then she is actually unbalanced, and she should not own a firearm, and vets should have firearms rather than gang members.
I'm Millie Weaver, reporting to you from Hollywood, California, with Infowars.com.
40-plus officers and ATF agents raid home of YouTube gun personality FPS Russia. This is a report out of GunsSaveLives.net. And this is a case involving Kyle Myers, a guns and explosives expert who has one of the most popular channels on YouTube called FPS Russia. And I checked it earlier on. 4 million subscribers this guy's got. He's got 500 million views for his videos. Every video he puts out gets several million views at least on YouTube. And this was a raid which took place a few days ago now, in connection with the death of Keith Ratliff, who was the owner of FPS Russia. He, of course, died in mysterious circumstances back in January, a gunshot wound to the head, a development that at the time some feared was part of this purge against prominent Second Amendment advocates. And it says, Hart County Sheriff Mike Cleveland said about 50 agents from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, conversion on a farm owned by FPS Russia host Kyle Myers and Ratliff. Quote, they were conducting an investigation regarding the explosives the pair were using on their YouTube show. Cleveland said they were blowing up cars and other things in Hart County on their farm. Agents were looking for explosives or anything connected to explosives that would have put them in violation of federal law. So the feds basically admitted that the explosives that were being used for these YouTube videos, where they just basically get massive guns and blow up vehicles, it's all a lot of fun. That's why they get so many million views. They admitted that those explosives were legal up to a certain limit. No arrests were made, and the police, the feds, refused to say if any illegal explosives were found. So it seems to me from the reports that they were invoking the death of Ratliff from back in January as merely an excuse to get on the property of Myers, this FPS Russia host, and raid him. And the question is, since they've discovered nothing illegal, no arrests were made, is it merely part of the continued harassment of prominent Second Amendment advocates that we've seen over the last few months in the aftermath of Sandy Hook and amidst the Obama administration's push for gun control? So is it part of the purge? We'll continue to track that story. That's it for the news. Now we go to the Daily Quote. The First Amendment rejects red tape, cover-up, and doublespeak. That's Roy Barnes, former governor of Georgia. And of course, a lot of people in America would like to water down that concept through political correctness and all manner of other devices, but that's why we're here every night, standing up against that kind of control freak mentality. Stick around, because after the break, Rob Dew interviews Gerald Celente on the latest economic crisis news. This is InfoWars Nightly News. Stay tuned.
I'm Darren McBreen, and these are some of the new items that are available now at InfoWarsShop.com.
Alert the public to Obama's blatant abuse of power with the new Obama t-shirt. Obama's Joker face on the front and come and take it on the back. It's time to publicly call him out for what he is, a tyrant. Defend the Second Amendment with our top seller come and take it t-shirts. And look at that, women's cut tank tops and t-shirts now available. Nice hat. Plus, the Don't Tread on Me flag. And now you can become a micro distributor of the InfoWars magazine. Plus, get your own copy delivered right to your door each and every month. And if you're tired like I am of you and your family being exposed to polluted drinking water, get the Pro One High Performance Water Filter. It gets rid of all pathogenic bacteria, cysts, fluoride, heavy metals, and numerous other contaminants.
So join the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Jakari Jackson here, and I want to talk to you for a second about water. You know about ProPure, our flagship water purification system, but check out some of our portable water filter products at InfoWarsStore.com. The clearly filtered water pitcher. Also, for those of you on the go, we have the Athlete Edition filtered water bottle. And the RAD Eliminator Pro Filtered Sports Bottle that removes radiation. And keep in mind, we have replacement filters for all of these products. The ever-popular grab-and-go bag favorite, the Life Straw. The Crystal Quest Shower Filter System. And the Aquapod Kit, great for mass storage of water. And while you're at the InfoWars shop, pick up a copy of our latest book, 31 Days to Survival. You can find all this and more at the InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, it's your support that funds our operation. Sign up for our free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. Thanks to Paul Joseph Watson for doing the news portion. And this is our interview portion. And our guest coming up today is no stranger to the InfoWars Nightly News or the Alex Jones Show. In fact, on Monday, he was on Alex's show talking about the Cyprus haircut, which he's going to have lots of stuff to say about that, I'm sure. And you can find a whole host of information at the Trends Journal. And it's trendsjournal.com, trendsjournal.com. And I turn now to writer and head CEO and basically a jack of all trades, Gerald Celente. How's it going today, sir?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, always a pleasure to have you on here. So I told you a couple days ago I wanted to get you on to talk about Cyprus and the fallout. Should they quit the euro, and, you know, what should they do in this situation? They're basically taking a 40% haircut right now.
Well, let's take that word that you just used. So I'm surprised that a guy like you has been brainwashed to use a word like haircut. Why, I just got a haircut the other day. It's not a haircut, man. They stole their money. That's white shoe boy language. And that's what's going on over here. They're stealing money out of the accounts. Just kind of like what they did to me with MF Global. So it's an MF all over the world. Everybody gets effed one way or another when you deal with the banks. So here's the story. Should Cyprus stay in the eurozone after what happened? Because if they leave, that could be really detrimental to it, because we have weakness in Greece, weakness in Italy, weakness in Spain, weakness in Ireland, weakness in Portugal, and weakness in France. Germany's probably the only one really holding up to any great extent. So, you know, I'm of Italian descent. Each nationality has certain characteristics that identify it. So I would say, if the Greek Cypriots are really into S&M, they should stick it out in the eurozone, because they're going to keep getting it stuck to them. How could anybody with any dignity and respect allow themselves to be taken over as they have by the bankers? And I want to make something really clear for all those people out there that say things like, hey, listen, if the economy's collapsing and things are going to hell, what good is gold and silver going to do for me? Well, check this one out. Suppose you were a Greek Cypriot, and suppose you were there right now, and you can't get much money out of the bank. But you have gold and silver. You think you could buy what you want and what you need and really get a great deal with it? Because who, at this point, living in Cyprus, wouldn't rather have gold and silver than those worthless euros, or better than that, the euros that they stole from you, or the euros that you can't get out of the bank? If there's ever a time for people to see the value of gold and silver before their eyes, it could not be clearer than now. And if you can't see it and you don't understand it, let's start talking about gay marriage and gun control. Maybe you'd like to hear more about that.
There you go, the football issues. And I use the term haircut because they are using it, and it is brainwashing. It totally, you know, they sit there and make it seem like it's no big deal. It's just going to be, it's just a little trim off the top, a little bit off the sides. Oh, but it's actually 40% of their savings accounts. And their checking accounts. And now they're not letting the Cypriots get out more than 300 euros a day. They're going to keep them from withdrawing that. So your position on gold is exactly right. If you are holding your own gold and silver, not in a safety deposit box, but somewhere where it's actually safe from the prying hands of bankers, you know, you would have money to go out there and buy the food you need, the gas you need, because they're literally on an island there in Cyprus.
But anywhere, this happens anywhere. And now let's suppose you have a, you know, you're selling gas or groceries, and some cat comes into you with silver and gold. You think you're going to sell it to him? And you think you're going to give him or her a great price? Because you're hungry for dough too, and you know this is the real deal.
Yeah.
And so for those people out there, by the way, that listen to America's public enemy number one, Osama bin Bernanke, who says that gold isn't money. Oh, the same Ben Bernanke, by the way, that the Fed Minutes show didn't see the panic of aid coming even when we were in it, along with the other Fed dumbbells who didn't see it. When he says gold isn't money, tell that to the Iranians, who have been frozen out of the banking system by the U.S. and NATO and the Arab Little League allies, and they're selling oil to China. And guess what China is giving them in return for the oil? Gold. Millions of dollars worth. Gold is money. It's only not money if you're a Bernanke moron. It's only not money if you can get away with saying that and the prostitutes allow you to, because after all, they're prostitutes. It's money. And there is no greater example that exists today than the incident that's happening in Cyprus. And Cyprus is the canary in the mine. That's right. What's going on with the Cyprus banks, the money is supposed to be guaranteed by the ECB and the European Monetary Union. It's not. Oh, yes, it is under 100,000 euros, but they also wanted to give a little trimming to those folks as well, to the tune of 6.5%. And that 40% that you mentioned, actually, with one of the biggest of the banks also closing down in Cyprus, those people with over 100,000, they may lose everything.
Oh, everything. Yeah. Just like you lost from MF Global. They just took everything. It just disappeared in thin air, never to be seen again.
Yes, and if I may, I know this might not be politically correct, and it may upset some people, but this is Easter time. So just think about this.
I know where you're going.
The only time that the Prince of Peace becomes violent is when he chases the money changers out of the temple.
Yeah.
It's as old as history.
I was actually telling my son that story, Gerald. I was telling my son that story about Jesus Christ taking a whip and beating the bankers. I said that's the only time he ever raised a hand against anyone.
Exactly.
Unless it was to heal them, was to chase the bankers out. So continue, keep going.
Now here's 1,800 years later. James Madison, President of the United States and a founding father of the nation. Quote, history records that the money changers, the money changers, have used every form of abuse, intrigue, deceit, and violent means possible to maintain their control over governments by controlling money and its issuance. And now, 300 years later, 200 years later, nothing has changed. They're still the money changers. Only the names and the outfits have changed. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking, being that, you know, you can't get the history right why we invaded Iraq over the false, you know, the lies that they told.
Right.
Or why we're in Afghanistan or the humanitarian mission in Libya. You remember that time-limited, scope-limited kinetic action. You know, maybe the story of Christ isn't just right. I mean, after all, it's 2013 years ago. Maybe they messed it up a little bit. Maybe it was the money changers that killed Jesus. That's my take. Because he was the one that exposed them for what they were doing to the people. When you think about it, the Prince of Peace becomes violent. Because of the abuses that Madison talks about 1,800 years later. So just to put it into context, the bankers are destroying the planet in every way possible. They've destroyed our country. They're destroying Europe, and they're destroying the lives of everybody that gets in their way. So just a note to see what it was, how it's been, and what it's become. Nothing has changed.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I actually said the same thing to my son after that. I said, soon after that, they put him on the cross because he was asking why he got put on the cross. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I think. Right before he died, he chased the money changers out of the temple. He whipped them.
Yeah.
And you know, these guys have money. So they got together and essentially lynched him. You know, this was a public lynching for somebody that they didn't like talking. They didn't like him spreading this type of gospel around against the bankers. and money changers.
Yeah, so here we are in a holiday, you know, that's holy for the Jewish people and the Christians. You know, you better put your heads together on this one and get it straight.
Yeah.
You know, it's atrocities. You know, they celebrate the Passover for what happened to them. And we celebrate, you know, they celebrate, you know, this crucifixion of Christ. Nothing to celebrate. But, you know, in the sense that this is really serious. Again, the only time that he becomes violent is to drive the people out of the temple because the money changers are destroying the people, and it hasn't changed. Look at the poor Greek Cypriots. Look at the lines of the elderly out there trying to get what they can. Now, put this into context, if you will. We're only talking about a country of a million. And, you know, you're talking about the hollow point bullets and what Homeland Security has been doing. And you guys right on top of that. Suppose 300 million people can't get their money out of the banks. Suppose there's a bank holiday and you can't get your dough out. Do you want to see chaos like we've never seen before? It's going to be coming to a city and a town near you if the trends are allowed to continue the way they're going.
And this is something that I don't think a lot of people are interested in talking about. You know, the mainstream media doesn't want to talk about this. They're trying to make it seem like Cyprus is its little island and it's self-contained and this won't spread. This isn't going to come to us. We're riding high on the stock market, Gerald. Why are you preaching such doom and gloom?
Yep, that's right. Oh, yeah, we're riding high in the stock market. Right, the S&P still can't break its level of where it was in 2007, and they're all rejoicing about the rally in the stock market, which, accounting for inflation, the market should be 1,000 points higher than it is now. And again, just a little gold story. What was gold when the stock market hit its height in around 2007?
It was like $200 and something dollars?
$700 and something, yeah. Okay. What's it worth now? Well, about $1,600, yeah. Hey, isn't that a little better than the market's doing? Oh, and you remember that wonderful NASDAQ. Yeah, the dot-com boom back there in 2000. What was it at? About 5,000 when it crashed? And what is it now 13 years later? Oh, gee, it's only, you know, in the 3,000s.
Yeah.
Oh, it's doing dandy.
Yeah, what they do is they move the bar backwards, and then when you get almost to where you were 10 years later, they go, look how great we're doing. And then they move the bar back, and then they're going to do the same thing again. People don't realize there's another bubble. We got another bubble coming. Let's go back to Cyprus, and then you've got this small economy. How is this going to affect us in the United States? Is this a litmus test for, hey, the technocrats can just go in and take 40% here? Are they going to start doing it to the other countries? What do you think is going to happen?
I think what you just said. They just prove that they're going to take it from anyone. Because of the way the banking system is, we have FDIC, don't forget. What do they have, like $16 trillion worth of deposits in there? A number like that, in the tens of trillions, maybe about $10 trillion. And how much money do they have in to back it? Try $33 billion. That's right, call up the FDIC, they'll tell you. And then you know what they'll tell you? Yeah, but we could draw another $100 billion from it, from the feds. They got no money to back it. Here's what I believe they're going to do. They did it before and they could do it again. When they call a bank holiday, and again, this is a litmus test. They're seeing what they could get away with. They're saying that when you put your money in the bank, it's really not your money. These are private banks. You're making an investment in that bank.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, you're okay. A lender. You're taking a risk.
It's not what you learn in high school that you need to get a savings account and save your money in the bank because that's the safe way to do it.
That was before the criminal gang of the Clinton, Slick Willie, and his boys deregulated the banking industry by killing the Glass-Steagall Act.
Right.
So in those days, yes, that's what made sense because they had controls. You know, there was no such thing as Bank of America. They were out in California. Small bank. There was no Wells Fargo. They were out there. They didn't allow up until very recently interstate banking. You had all banks you couldn't do banking outside of the state limits because they tried to control it because they learned what happened during the 1930s and plus other controls. So here's what they'll do, I believe. You go back to the National Emergency Banking Act of 1933. when FDR made people bring in their gold and sell it to the feds. That's right. And if you didn't do it, it was against the law. You get 10 years in jail. And if they found you with gold, you'll penalize three times the amount of what they found. So they made people sell it back to the Fed at $20.65 an ounce. After they got it all in, or thought they did, they repegged the price of gold, because back then the dollar was pegged to gold. That's what the runs on the banks were, because you could take that dollar and turn it in for gold. People were turning it in for gold, and they didn't have the gold. So they called a bank holiday. After they got all the gold in, they repegged the price of gold from $20.65 an ounce to $35 an ounce. You just took a 70%, I know you'll like this word, haircut.
Yeah.
So they devalued the dollar. And that's what I believe they're going to do again. It's going to be a devaluation. And that's how they're going to try to get us out of this whole debt crisis, because as every intelligent human being knows, there's absolutely no way the United States is going to pay off that $16.5 trillion in debt that we have, plus the, what is it, the hundreds of trillions of unfunded things that we have to pay for in pensions and benefits, etc. So there's no way they're going to be able to get us out of this. And again, if there is a bank holiday, there's no way the FDIC can back and control the loss of your money when they only have $33 billion in the bank to cover $10 trillion worth of deposits.
Yeah, that doesn't add up, even if you're into fuzzy math. So how can we fix this? We're at the anniversary of a crucifixion. Are we going to crucify bankers? We're going to let them go, obviously, because they're perfect and they know everything. But what can we do to fix this? I mean, what can the average guy out there do?
Well, again, only speaking for myself. Yeah, as you well know, I've been buying gold for, you know, since 1978, and silver as well. Not as much, but. And so only speaking for myself, I don't give financial advice. Number two is that we have to put back in place the laws that prevented this from happening before. Glass-Steagall has to be totally reinstated. Totally. It's the only way. And along with that, all of the trade agreements that were broken, that were put in place so we would have jobs here that paid living wages. I mean, what kind of country are we when we can't make our own shirts and shoes, when we don't make our computers? It was more than just offshoring our jobs to foreign countries. They offshored our brains. Do you think the Chinese would be able to pull off what they have if the political criminals, the mafia, didn't sell everything that we had to them?
Exactly.
They sold our labor, they sold our minds, they sold our hearts and intelligence for fractions of pennies on the dollar.
And to add to that, Paul Craig Roberts recently wrote an article about how the innovation goes with production. So our futures are gone too. How they say, oh, well, we're going to innovate here and then put it into China and have them produce the goods. No, the innovation's going to China. So that's the future that they said
that's
we're going
right.
to have. And then everything else is getting replaced by robots. They said we're going to have robot journalists. We're going to have robot service people now. Everything's going to be robots. So what are we going to be doing? We're going to be left around being useless.
Well, again, you become a service sector society. Think of the word servant. Service, servitude, servant, serf, capisce. And boy, do I respect Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. As you know, he's one of the contributors to the Trends Journal.
Right.
So a lot of what I also say, you know, I pick up from him as well. You know, he talks about, are they rigging gold prices? And one thing he brought up that I didn't think about, yeah, I know that they rigged the LIBOR rates. I mean, what is that, $700 trillion worth of rigging?
Right.
And then he made the point, yeah, and they're rigging the bond market right in front of our eyes. Nobody's talking about that. The Fed is rigging the bond market. They're buying $85 billion worth of bonds and securities each month. They're rigging the markets.
And that money's coming out of thin air. That money comes out of thin air, too.
Yeah.
It's a total scam. And yet we keep believing that these people can somehow get us out of the crisis that they got us into in the first place.
Yes, and that's the tragedy. And for anybody that thinks that these people that got us into the problems are going to get us out, and they come from a higher order, you know, the story that I had, my favorite story of the year was when they found King Richard III's bones under a parking lot. You know, get over the ego trip, man.
Exactly.
You know, you're just dust and bones.
Dust in the wind.
Yeah. And so stop looking up to these clowns and start rising up and finding the greatness within yourself, everyone, so that we could change this future, because it can be changed. If we keep following the sociopaths and psychopaths, well, you know that path. It's the path of ruin. Hey, let's start another war. Korea looks really great. Lost the first Korean War. Why not lose the second one? But this time, let's turn a lot of people into glass in the meantime.
Yeah, I'm actually scared. On the Drudge Report this morning, he's targeting Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
Alex is there, you know.
Well, I think he's probably heard a few things Alex said about him, Kim Jong-un, and he's taken personal offense and all weapons, open fire, you know. I mean,
This is nonsense. I mean, really. I mean, what is North Korea? They have a couple of bombs. They'll turn to nothing.
They got some bicycles.
They got some bicycles. Yeah. They still have rickshaws, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, and in the United States, I love it. They send, you know, B-2 squadrons, you know, bat-like planes over the peninsula and into the area around. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're going to bomb North Korea with nuclear weapons. That's great. And you know what's so great about these new nuclear weapons? All of the fallout stays exactly where you bomb them. So it won't go into Japan. It won't go into China. It won't go into South Korea. It won't go into the water. But hey, who cares about the water in the air? Anyway, we have Fukushima.
Exactly.
So Fukushima one way, your Fukushima another way.
Yeah, I mean, you said it, Gerald. This is it. It is just utter insanity, and it keeps growing on these levels that, you know, it used to be it took 10 years to get where we've gone in 3 months. Now it's just it's hyper accelerating the insanity. And I think they're doing it. It's like they have to keep throwing gasoline on the fire, but then all of a sudden they run out of fuel. So what else is there? Well, we start throwing humans into the fire. I mean, that's where it's going.
It's sociopaths and psychopaths. For anybody with a half a brain, and the other half of the brain hasn't been killed by, you know, prescription psychotropic drugs, it's a mafia. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's the money changers and military industrial complex mafia. Again, from Jesus Christ to James Madison about the money changers, and Dwight D. Eisenhower warned us of the military-industrial complex, 5-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces, 2-term Republican president, no wars under his rule. He stopped the Korean War, and he tells people the military-industrial complex is taking, robbing the genius of the scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. So if you don't believe him, you know, knock yourself out. You don't want to believe Christ or Madison. That's okay. But the money changers and the mafia, the money changers and the military industrial complex are the mafia. All the politicians are the wise guys, the front men. They make everything look legit, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you have the goon squads, which are the soldiers to keep everybody in order. Yeah, they're there to serve and protect the wise guys and the dons, the capo di capos. That's all it is. It's the mafia. This isn't a democracy.
It's just on a larger scale than just, you know, in one city or in one, you know, area of states. This is an entire country, and it's growing throughout the world. All these things are interconnected. Gerald, anything else you want to cover while we got a couple more minutes left with you?
I think that's about it, but also that, again, that the message of Cyprus is one that tells a lot of tales. And the tale is, you know, heads I win, tails you lose. If you have paper and I have gold or silver. And that it should be the message for everyone. This is why you buy gold and silver. You don't buy it to speculate. You have it there because of its intrinsic value that has existed since the time of not the written word, but the drawn word on caves. So the story, again, of Cyprus has to be the most important, along with the other part of the story. If you don't have your money, you don't own it. As you mentioned, I lost my money with MF Global. It was in a segregated account. You lose your money from FDIC or possibly FDIC, or if you're in the Eurozone. So why would anybody in France, in Italy, in Greece or in Spain or in Ireland or Germany keep their money in the banks when they know that they broke the law that they wrote and can now confiscate your money?
Yeah, and to this date, nothing's happened to Corzine.
Oh, he's better than the rest of us.
Yeah.
You know the word. It's justice. Just us.
That's right.
Not them.
No, it's incredible. It's incredible.
And you know what else is incredible? That they've put the money changers on these pedestals. That we have to bail them out every time that they make bad bets.
They're too big to fail, Gerald. These guys are too, you know, if they fail, then the whole system that they talk about fails.
That's right. Didn't Eric Holder say that, our attorney general?
Yeah.
Words to those effect, or is it Eric Himmler Holder? I keep getting them mixed up. They sound so much alike.
We call him Eric Gunrunning Holder.
Ah, yes. Yeah. That's one of his monikers as well.
Well, tell people how they can get the Trends Journal and what's coming up in the new issue.
Well, the new issue is really one that everyone, I believe, is going to need to read if they want to help change the future as well as prepare for it. And the Trends Journal, by the way, we make available to everyone. We have a discount request page there. Just fill it out, simple information, because we want to help people prepare for what's going to happen. And most importantly, for people to see the opportunities that are ahead so that they don't have to go down with the ship and take the path to prosperity. And it's all there in the Trends Journal. I could say with every ounce of truth within myself, you will not find a publication like it in the world. It's history before it happens. If you want to see history before it happens, you want the Trends Journal.
And you've been predicting, making trend predictions, doing this. I mean, you didn't just start this last year in your mom's basement. You've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, over 30 years, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, I read it. I get it when you guys send it out. We're on your mailing list. And let me tell you, I learn a lot from it. It's just, and it's great. You know, you have Paul Craig Roberts. You have other great writers on there that it's not just you. It's you're getting the cream of the crop, who the mainstream media don't want to touch, essentially, because these people are pulling the curtain back going, look, this is what's behind the curtain. Look at it. You know, and the mainstream media doesn't want to do that.
Yes. No, of course. They're the prostitutes. And by the way, yeah. You said one thing I disagree with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts is that he said the reporters are going to be like robots. They are already.
There you go. You're right. Yeah. They get the talking points. They regurgitate them. We covered that story yesterday, and I was reading it. I'm like, well, we already have this. I mean, what's the difference? Except they have to, I guess they have to pay the people. They don't have to pay the robots. That's the only difference at this point.
Well, let's talk more about gay marriage and gun control.
Yeah, you know, here, catch this football. I'm throwing it at you right now. Here it is.
All right, hey.
Yeah. All right, hey, Gerald, thanks a lot. Trendsjournal.com, trendsjournal.com, right?
Yep, and Bona Pasqua. Happy Easter.
All right, same to you.
Bye-bye.
Always illuminating. Trends forecaster himself, Gerald Salente. And that wraps it up for our show tonight. I'd like to thank Paul Joseph Watson for doing the news. But before we go, the new InfoWars magazine came in today. Welcome to Planet Hoax. There it is. That's a great-looking cover. Sure to attract attention out there. And we have many different ways that you can get this. But I want to show you a few articles here. Here it is, Welcome to Planet Hoax. Here's Alex's article, 10 Giant Media and Government Hoaxes. Included in there is the one that I went off on the other night. Osama bin Laden was killed in 2011. Yeah, sure he was. We got the ammo buy hoax. I mean, and this thing's loaded with graphics. Obama's Man Behind the Curtain by Kurt Nemo. No More Hesitation. This is on the paper targets that, oh, there's the pregnant lady in her house. There's the little boy with his daddy's gun. There's the young mom with her daughter. There's the old lady in her house, in her kitchen. All these are terrorists, all right? We got to be trained for no more hesitation to shoot them. The boy who stopped the murder plot with a gun, and the national media ignored the story. Now, look at this. Look at this one right here. Comrades, turn in your weapons. Here's a poster from 1918. Look at what these people are giving back. Look what they're handing in. They're giving to their commissar, their local officer. They're handing in their guns. They're even handing in their swords. Okay? And up here it says, comrades, turn in your weapons. All right? And you got the hammer and the sickle and the red star. Okay? And then you have the leftists out there that like to say, well, the people that want your guns, the gun grabbers, oh, Stalin never wanted the guns. Hitler never wanted the guns. He even has a quote of Goebbels in here. This just shows what you can expect from Jews if they lay their hands on weapons. There it is right there. And that's from Goebbels in his own writings. This is after the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. There you go. Let's continue on here. Avert your eyes. Let's turn this. This is our pinup. Hang this up in your store. This will definitely get some. Ooh, it's Madame Feinstein. Hi, are you going to take my guns today?
Yes, I am. Give me all your guns, Mr. and Mrs. America.
Talk about despicable and disgusting. Here's the scorecard. How many rights have Americans really lost? There it is. That's from Washington's blog. I mean, great stuff. And then, you know, as Gerald was talking about throughout the interview today, gold and silver. We have a great special from Midas Resources. Two silver dollars at cost for $72. Plus you get the American Dream film, plus the Obama deception, plus the book, Dishonest Money. So even if you have these, you can pass them out and educate some people. Because, you know, American Dream's a little over 30 minutes long. A lot of great information, and it kind of gives you, it's a great primer to like slap you over the head and say, hey, look, here's the Federal Reserve. You know, this is how it all started. Red Shield, what does that mean? Well, it's Rothschild. The Obama deception. This breaks through the left-right paradigm because Alex did so many documentaries against the Bush administration, and then Obama came in, and in March of 2009, we released this. Okay? And it has everything in there. And everything that Obama's basically done. We were even talking about him going into Africa back then. And now it's all coming true. We're in Africa. We're full tilt boogie. The book Dishonest Money, you can get that all by going to MidasResources.com. There's the phone number, 800-686-2237. Get your gold and silver. And if anybody from Cyprus out there did use gold and silver in a transaction during this crazy time, you know, that you guys are going through, send me an email. I'd like to get you on the show to talk about it. RobD@Infowars.com. RobD@Infowars.com. If you know somebody out there who's been, or if you yourself have been in a time where they were, if you're in a different country and they suddenly cut off the money supply or something and you're able to use gold and silver, let's share those stories. Let's, you know, I have silver. I don't have gold. I'm not heavy in the pockets like that. And I didn't get in early enough when gold was, inexpensive, but I was getting into silver. I've been getting into silver, and silver's a great way to go, especially if you don't have a lot of money. You only have, you know, maybe $50 a week to put aside. Get you some silver. It's a great tool to have, and you never know if you're going to need it. And it's better to have it, and even if they tank the dollar for some reason, well, at least you have some reserves and silver that you can cash in for anything like that. One more thing, if you're watching this on YouTube, please go to prisonplanet.tv and sign up for a membership. It's $5.95 a month. We have a 15-day free trial. You've got the Alex Jones radio show. You have the nightly news. You have special reports. All the movies. We even have some films that we didn't produce ourselves, but we do carry at the InfoWars store. We have United We Fall, which is from Dan Dix of Press for Truth, and Don't Tread on Me. It's about the Tea Party movement. So, you know, a lot of stuff there on prisonplanet.tv. It is the way we fund the lights. We fund the cameras. The suit, actually, Jones told me to go out and buy a new jacket. So I went out and got this jacket, which I've been wearing for the last few months, along with the other stuff. And, we definitely appreciate your support out there. We're trying to get the truth out. We're trying to bring you the people out there like Gerald Celente, like Paul Craig Roberts, the other great thinkers that we've had, Mike Adams. Getting all these people in here takes time. It does take money, and we appreciate your support for joining us at prisonplanet.tv. Plus, you get the InfoWars Nightly News when it comes out at 7 p.m. Central every night, because it comes out on YouTube the next day. We have our YouTube guy out in Oregon who does that for us. and say a little hi to Dave out there. Anyway, that's it for the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Rob Dew. Thanks to Paul Watson for doing the news, and we will see you next week.